First and Goal Show with your hosts, Lou Landers and Mike Stromey.
Welcome to the First and Goal Show. I'm Lou Landers, joined by my co-host, Mike Stromey. We are back for week 9 of the NFL season. Season is flying by, folks. Don't sleep now or you might miss it. On this episode, we will each give you our 3 favorite bets of the week. Wrap things up with our surefire can't miss bets of the week, so you'll have to stay tuned for those. Of course, you can subscribe to the First and Goal Show via the Sports Crew Radio Network on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. And this show is sponsored by Fantasy Football Blueprint, so go check out fantasyfootballblueprint.com for all your DFS, gambling, and esports needs. Mike, come to the mic. Mike, to the mic. What's the game you're completely avoiding this week from a betting standpoint?
Yeah, one game, which I think is going to have a lot of sharp square action on it that I want absolutely no piece of, is Baltimore Indy. I think a lot of people are going to see Baltimore at a sharp or at a small price and take them. But with Darius Leonard and the addition of DeForest Buckner to that defense, whenever Darius Leonard has been in the lineup, they have been really good against the run. And while Phillip Rivers has been prone to, you know, critical interceptions in the past, other than week one, he has done a really good job of not turning over the ball. It's just a game I really want to stay away from. I'm not sure if Lamar Jackson is completely healthy and Indy might be able to bottle him up. I don't know. It's just something I really want to say. I wish I was getting more points with the Colts, but it's just a big time pass for me, and I don't care where the number goes at this point.
Interesting, because I am betting on that game, not the betting line, but we'll get to that. The game I'm looking to avoid is the Giants and Washington. NFC East obviously has been so unpredictable this year, and I think it's better to kind of just stay away from it. Washington's coming off a bye. We don't know which team we will see. The Giants seemingly are in every game this year, but then they kind of blow it. They did beat Washington earlier this season for their only win, and honestly, the Giants could have 3 or 4 wins, if not for a bad pass here or there, a bad play call here or there, or the refs here or there. I guess my point is that if it's one team in the NFC East, I'm fine to bet on the game, but with 2 of them, no thanks. I will gladly pass, Mike.
Yeah, well, let's just count our lucky stars that this isn't a NFC East primetime game.
yeah, right. I mean, we knew that was going to be a problem. We talked about it last week, and well, it was. It stunk. But to our bets themselves, Seattle Seahawks on the road. Line opened at 2.5. I've seen it at 3. I've seen it back to 2.5. Either way, I like it at 2.5 or 3. Obviously, 2.5 is preferred. They are on the road against the Buffalo Bills, and I know this Bills team is 6-2, but they were very lucky to beat the Patriots in Week 8. They were very lucky to beat the Rams in Week 3, and they barely beat the Jets in Week 7. This team could really be 4-4 right now, with 2 of their 4 wins coming against the New York Jets. So how good are the Buffalo Bills, really? Then you look at Seattle. Russell Wilson playing the best football of his life right now, even with their defense struggling as bad as it has in 2020. And it's been bad. They still outscore everybody. And I think the defense is underrated. If you look below the surface here, as bad as they are against the pass, which they're dead last in the league in, they are a top 10 team versus the run. So I'm not saying they're going to dominate this football game, but I do think they win, and I think they do so by at least a field goal, if not more. Again, this Bills team is fooling some people at 6-2. They haven't been nearly as good as their record would indicate, Mike.
Yeah, the Bills have been a little bit of a disappointment after getting off to a hot start. And the Seahawks have traveled well, and they've been in that position under Pete Carroll with Russell Wilson and with that roster. They've gone to the East Coast and had that, you know, 2.5-3 point spread. And they've been successful in that spot. It's a stay away for me, but I do think the game's going to shoot out, and if I am going to take a side, I am probably going to lean Seattle just due to the fact that Josh Allen has a propensity to turn over the ball. It'll be a stay away from me. My first bet, and this is an ugly, ugly pooch that we have on Thursday night, but I'm going to go with the defending NFC champions in a rematch of the NFC championship game from last year in the San Francisco 49ers, currently getting 5.5 when this game opened up at 3.5. As it currently stands, I am getting 5.5. I would expect more Packer money to come in, and I'll be completely honest with you, Lou. You're probably not going to get Aaron Jones healthy. You're obviously not. And if he does play, you're going to get 65% Aaron Jones. Like, he was limited. He was limping through a walkthrough earlier today on as we record on Tuesday. A.J. Dillon has COVID. Jamal Williams was in close contact with him, and it's likely going to be quarantined for this game. You're going to be asking Dexter Williams and Tyler Irvin as a backfield to go up against that that defensive front that's, despite the fact that they have an entire starting defense, or so it seems, on the IR. And traded Quan Alexander. They were still able to stifle. The Seahawks were not able to run the ball on them last week with DJ Dallas. And I think DJ Dallas, who is, while he's not a great running back, he's better than what the Packers are going to throw out. And that includes a 65% Aaron Jones, which I think is where he will be on a short week, just given the fact that he was nowhere near being able to play last week. And an interesting note that I kind of stored in the back of my brain during the NFC Championship game last year, and it kind of made sense because when these two met up in the regular season, it was a complete blowout for the San Francisco 49ers as well. And it kind of leaned back to something. I can't remember if it was Aaron Andrews or Pam Oliver, one of those Fox sideline reporters, but they brought up some sort of narrative about how Kyle Shanahan and Mike Pettine were the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns back in 2014. They really butt heads and they really did not get along. And it was mainly because Kyle Shanahan would just absolutely gash that defense with like 3 to 5 different run schemes. And I know that the 49ers have, you know, they're not going to have Mostert. They might not have Tevin Coleman. It'll likely be Jamichael Hasty and Jerick McKinnon. But in 2018, when these two teams met up as well, when the 49ers were picking second overall, that was a 33-30 final for the Packers. And you had Raheem Mostert, as little known as Jamichael Hasty is right now, and they're both similar type of backs. I still think that the San Francisco 49ers can exploit that Packers defense that got absolutely gashed by Dalvin Cook last week. He had 4 touchdowns. They got gassed in the NFC Championship game doing the same basic thing that with the Vikings doing the same thing that the Packers or that the 49ers did in that NFC Championship game. I'm not saying Jamichael Hasty could go off for 4 touchdowns, but it could be cool enough if he did. Keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. And the only way, and Davante Adams is great. He's currently, as it speaks right now, he has been the best wide receiver in the NFL, but he averaged 125 yards and 2 touchdowns in the last 3 matchups that they faced. They've lost all 3 of them, or they've lost 2 of them, and they're 0-3 against the spread. I'm going to take points with the San Francisco 49ers, and I hope this climbs up to 5, maybe 6, maybe even 6.5 by kickoff. I think that's an absolutely, I think that's a golden price for a team that absolutely nobody wants, given the change at quarterback
and the Kittle injury.
And all their injuries.
And
the Kittle injury.
Yeah.
They don't need to pass. They threw the ball 8 times in that AFC championship.
Yeah, I know.
They don't need the quarterback.
Which is the reason why I was all over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, as I thought Garoppolo didn't have to do anything to get to the Super Bowl. But Garoppolo, of course, not there.
I was on the Niners.
Yeah. Very interesting game for sure, and it's one that, as much as I don't hate that 5.5, I think what you said off the top with the bet was I think the more Packers money is going to come, and I think this goes up to 6.5 or even 7, and that's when I'll jump on it.
This is the type of game, especially with it being the first primetime game of the week, you bet it like a half hour before kickoff.
Yeah. And you can even, I would even start it with off, I would actually have a parlay of other games you really like and make that the starter bet and do it as close to kickoff as possible. Get your parlay off to a good start.
Good teaser material as well if you have a take on the total, or you can even tease it with another game on Sunday. I'm not really a parlay, or if I do a parlay, it'll be like I'm throwing change on like 9 or 10 games and just kind of doing it for kicks. I'm not really like a teaser or a parlay player, but yeah, if you wanted to go that route, this is excellent material for that.
Don't go down that route. love that guy in South Park. Don't do it, Starch. Sometimes dead is better.
Oh yeah, little Steve's going off the street, y'all.
Denver, Atlanta game. I'm looking at Mike. Total is at 49.5, and for a Falcons game, I think that total is kind of low considering they score a lot of points, especially at home in Atlanta. Likely due to the fact that the Broncos' offensive ranks this season are very bad, but they're skewed because of all the time that Drew Locke missed. I think they're an entirely different team with Locke at the quarterback position. Falcons currently rank 31st versus the pass this season. No weather issues here. Games being played in Atlanta, in a dome. Should be a lot of points on the board. Broncos defense was supposed to be good this season. It's not. They are allowing 26 points per game. Falcons allowing 28 points per game. That's 54 combined. I'm liking the total here as long as it doesn't go higher than 51 right now. Again, it's in the 49s. And you'll see on our DFS show coming out tomorrow, Mike, why I do like the Denver Broncos offense. So over in the Broncos Falcons total, what's your next bet?
Yeah, Lou, that Broncos offense can certainly put up some points. I warned you about them last week, dude. I warned you. But hey.
Yeah, I mean, it literally took till the very last play of the game, essentially, for them to
it's
ruin
not
that
how,
bet.
It's how many, man.
But it
it's
did
not
happen.
How, it's how many. I didn't. I'll be honest with you. I didn't get in on that game off the kickoff. I was able to get +6.5 Denver at plus money, which was basically what you would get them on the money line going into that game, +6.5 as well. So, yeah, it was fun. It still worked out. Falcons are chokers. So are the Chargers. Should be some points in that game. My second bet is I'm going to go over to Luke. Just from a macro perspective, would you be interested in a quarterback who's covered over 75% of his starts against the spread, and he's getting more than 10 points?
I would, but I know where you're going with this, and we're talking about Teddy Bridgewater, and typically I would agree with you, but
Teddy,
I think it's a different animal against Kansas City Chiefs, bro.
I don't know, man. I think
in Kansas City too,
Chiefs,
by the way.
The Chiefs cover like they were able to, and honestly, not necessarily gracefully cover that 20. I never thought I'd say it at the NFL level, but they didn't really gracefully cover that 20. They kind of let the Jets hang around a little bit, but the Panthers aren't the Chiefs or aren't the Jets. They have offensive weapons of their own, guys like Robbie Anderson, who's been great in Joe Brady and Matt Rule's system. DJ Moore has shown flashes. They still have a guy like Curtis Samuel, who can make big plays. And they might be getting this guy back next week named Christian McCaffrey. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he was he might be the best offensive skill position player in the NFL, and he may or may not show up here. And if not, they still have a guy named Mike Davis, who has been excellent out of the backfield. I think there's a way where. I don't think the Panthers are going to turn over the ball. I think they're going to put up points in this game, and I think that backdoor is going to be constantly. I'm not saying they're going to win outright, but
No, I think that would be
To give Teddy Roosevelt more than 10 points to any team in the world is asking for that back door to be smashed down.
It is, and I'm more than happy to spread could go up to 11 or 11.5 too.
Please do.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to sit at 10.5.
Well, I get that the Chiefs are pretty, yeah, and they're coming off that extended, you know, mini bye playing on Thursday night last week. You know, I believe they're 5-2 officially against the spread. They didn't cover last week against Atlanta. Lost outright at home as a favorite, but we're not asking them to win outright. We're just asking them to cover the number.
We're asking them to lose 34-24. 30-20.
Saved by Captain Hook.
Yeah, whatever it might be. So my third bet here is the Chicago Bears plus the points against the Tennessee Titans. And really kind of just taking advantage of the fact that both these teams kind of heading in opposite directions, in the sense that the Titans haven't looked good the past couple of weeks. While the Bears, yes, they've lost two in a row. They've kept games close. Although they didn't look great against the Rams, they ended up keeping that game close. Certainly looked good against the Saints last week. Game they definitely could have won. I'm not saying they're going to win outright. It is possible. But I do feel strongly about their chances plus the points here. The Titans defense giving up a lot of yards to opponents this season. And that's certainly going to help a struggling Bears offense. The Titans are allowing the 25th most yards per game in the league. They are the worst defense getting off the field on third down in the league. That's going to help Nick Foles a lot. And so as good as their record may be, and as explosive as their offense might be, the Titans, there are weak spots that even an average team can exploit. I think the Bears stick around in this football game. I think the Titans, right now, a little overrated. I think the Bears kind of getting a bad rap because of how bad their offense has looked at times. But I do think they can compete with the Tennessee Titans in this football game.
Yeah, the Tennessee Titans are dead last in defensive line adjusted sack rate at just 3.4%.
They're also, I think I said it, Mike,
on third down.
They're dead last at getting off the field on third down. And you know as well as I do, game pretty much won on third down and in the fourth quarter. Foles has been great in the fourth quarter. And the Titans have been terrible on third down. I like the Bears' chances to keep it close.
Yeah, and that defense is solid on the Bears as well. I think you're getting a nice pooch with the six there. So Lou, we kind of went back and forth on a AFC West divisional game involving a team that likes to choke away not only the double digit leads in Falcons West, aka the Los Angeles Chargers, and I'm going to go against them again. I think the wrong team is favored in this matchup. I know it's at SoFi Stadium, and I know that basically the flashier team on both sides of the ball is the home team in the LA Chargers. But you know, I think they've lost something like 10 of their last 12 one-score games. We got a spread that's under 3. And, you know, Derek Carr has not turned over the ball too much this year. This is a team that can run the ball with success. I know they haven't done it the last couple of weeks. I know their offensive line has had issues with the Las Vegas Raiders. But, you know, scary situation with Trent Brown. I believe he was rushed to the hospital after a botched IV job. It's a bad year for NFL doctors. A little bit of blood, a little bit of air in his bloodstream, and he almost died. But I don't know if he's going to play or not this week. But I think the rest of the offensive line should be okay. I think the Raiders can maintain and hold a lead in this game. And I'm catching 1.5. I know they're even money on the money line. But I wouldn't mind laying the extra, you know, 10 cents to get that extra point in a hook. And I'm going to take that in a divisional matchup where, once again, you know, the Chargers lost the season series with the Broncos last year. They also lost two tight games against this same Raiders team a year ago, and I think that this weekend it's going to be 3. I'll take a point and a half with the LA Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders. Wow, I skipped Oakland and went right back to the early 90s. How do you think about that, Lou?
I like it. And you know what? If you know you're going to talk about Vegas, you can't talk about Vegas without gambling. And you know what? This is one we definitely agree on. This is one I definitely plan on highlighting this weekend on Sports Overnight America with Ron. It's definitely one I have written down. We typically go over 7 or 8 games, and it's definitely in those 7 or 8 games for sure. Might even look at this Carolina game, Mike. A Carolina game might make it in, depending on what the line is like Friday night before we go live. But we promised these people some surefire bets of the week, and mine might be controversial, especially as a surefire bet, but I feel really confident about this. And one thing I have been doing this year, sometimes the lines have not been kind to me, but my over-under picks have been really money for the most part. And I'm looking at the total here with the Baltimore Ravens and the Indianapolis Colts, and I am not understanding how it is so low. Kind of similar to what I said last week with the Ravens and Steelers. It was very low, as good as their defenses rank. They can also score a lot of points. And I think we're going to see that same thing in Week 9. Both these defenses with Indianapolis and Baltimore are good. There's no weather conditions. They're combined to score 57 points, though. And I'm not saying it's going to get that high. I do think we see anywhere from 48 to 52 points, which is significantly higher than the 44.5 it currently sits at. Back and forth game, I think, again, very much like that Ravens-Steelers game that we saw. Offenses prevailed in that one. I expect offenses to prevail again in this one, as good as defenses have been. Defense has not been kind to really anybody in this weird COVID season. Defense is still behind the offenses, and that's what we're gonna see again. Phillip Rivers actually looked good last week. I think Lamar Jackson and the Ravens bounced back again from that tough loss against their divisional rival Steelers. I just think we see a lot more points than 44.5, 45, whatever it turns out to be. What's your surefire bet?
Yeah, Lou, last week, and I can't remember if it was my quote-unquote surefire bet or if it was just a strong lean. I'm not sure if it was my my SFB, as we should be calling this segment going forward. But I gave out the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I know we were talking in the virtual green room that is the production meeting in the show, and I my original pick was Steelers money line at plus 170. And you know what? I kind of, for lack of a better term, pitched out and took them at +3.5. When really they won money line. And I'm not doing that this week, Lou. I'm gonna bring up my cojones, and I'm going to slap them right down on the table on Sunday night, and I'm gonna get a divisional team. That's 2. That has won the last 3 matchups, and in those matchups has scored at least 30 points in each of those 3 matchups with the same coaching staff that they have currently now on the opposition on both sides, and that's the New Orleans Saints. They are currently, as it stands right now, plus 200 on the money line. I get it. They're on the road. I get it. It's Tom Brady. I get it. You'll probably see some Antonio Brown on the other end of the football. I get it. The Bucs have been a tremendous defense all year, but so have the Saints. And I just don't see how the Bucs are going to be able to run the ball. That same Ronald Jones, he's had a great year this year, but this same Saints defense has shut him down and made him completely irrelevant in each of the 3 matchups dating in Bruce Arians' tenure with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Game 1, 31-24 Tampa. Game 2, 34-17 New Orleans. Game 2, 34-17 New Orleans. Game 3 in week 1 of this year, 34-23 Tampa or New Orleans. Wow, I'm really messing that up. New Orleans won all three of those games.
Now, making that clear. Yes, they have. I got to stop you for one second, though.
I know exactly what you're going to say, Lou. And then that's going to be the public's cry. But it was Jameis Winston in the first two.
No, that's nothing to do with Winston at all. It has to do with I'm not looking at this first game of the season because
Winston,
it was Brady's first time with that offense with Bruce Arians
and
without a preseason.
The difference between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being a Super Bowl contender and being a kind of
fringe, 7-19
kind of sort of wild card team with Jameis Winston was 1,000% the interceptions. Brady still threw two in the first matchup, and Jameis Winston had a game where he didn't throw an interception last year against the New Orleans Saints. Same results. One team can run the ball, one team can't. And even if we get Michael Thomas back with the New Orleans Saints, if we get Emmanuel Sanders back with the New Orleans Saints, hell, if we even get Marquez Callaway back with the New Orleans Saints, who is he exactly? Benny Fowler, anybody, if anybody can catch the ball for the New Orleans Saints, all Drew Brees has to do is not turn over the ball. The Saints have to keep Kamara involved. They have to get him, you know, keep him going. I think the Saints could sweep for the second year in a row on Sunday night when everybody and their mother is going to be on the home team in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm going to be taking the Saints on the money line at plus, as currently as it stands right now at plus 200. I think they continue to roll.
Wow. I definitely am looking at the Bucs to win this football game. If we're talking the betting line, Saints plus the points, I would say, you know what, Mike, you might be up to something. I believe right now it's a 5.5 for the Bucs. So Saints plus 5.5, yeah, I would be interested in that, for sure. But I do think both these teams are very different than the teams we saw in week one. So it'll be interesting, but I like your boldness.
You take away any sort of running game for Brady, and you make him stand up in the pocket. They have guys like...
Well, this game, Mike, is two of the best rushing defenses in the NFL.
They can make questionable throws, yes. They can make him throw questionable throws. They can win the turnover battle. They can win the game.
The only team better at stopping the run than the Saints is the Bucs, which is interesting.
It's creepy how similar these teams are.
Yeah.
Just from a completely macro perspective this season, New Orleans 7th in points scored, Tampa 4th. Points allowed, New Orleans 23rd, Tampa 7th. Okay, there's an 8-point differential there. Passing yards per game, 7th for the Saints, 8th for the Bucs.
Yep.
Rushing, 14th for the Saints, 23rd. Defenses, this is where it gets kind of eerie. Like the points for, points against, that's cute. But the Saints ranked 17th against the pass. Like they're the 17th best pass defense. The Bucs are the 14th. The Saints are the third best rush defense. The Bucs are the first. I think the proof in the pudding lies that these teams are a lot closer than plus 200 on the money line.
Yes, they definitely are. And I also am not buying into the whole Breeze on the road thing anymore either. Which I think a lot of people still do.
Because he's not the focal point of this offense anymore, and hasn't been since.
And the beautiful part is that Alvin Kamara is, and although he's a running back, the best work that he does is in the passing game. So you don't have to, we're not talking about the Bucs stopping the running back, we're talking about the Bucs stopping the run. That doesn't mean they could stop Alvin Kamara in the passing game. So that's where I could, lean towards the Saints. It's definitely going to be an interesting game. I'm glad we have a potential thriller on Sunday Night Football. Mm-hmm. That is
I'm really looking forward to this one here.
Yes. Should be a great one. Whether you're a football fan or not, whether you play DFS or not, it should be an entertaining game, to say the least. Mike, anything else here?
Yeah, do we have time for a futures bet on the way out? I know we're halfway through the season.
Yeah. What? If you have a futures bet or two, let's lamb on those listeners.
Okay. So I've got somebody who could – I got a team that's relatively in the race in the division. And currently as it stands, they're plus 800. Are you interested?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not saying don't do this now. Wait until Monday morning when Team X gets absolutely destroyed as a double digit dog, starting a third or possibly fourth string quarterback. But take the Dallas Cowboys at currently it's plus 800. I expect it to get up to like plus 10, I expected to get this to like 10 to 1 by the time we see this team absolutely shat the bed again against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But take the Dallas Cowboys to take the NFC to win the NFC East. I get it. The Eagles there's no disputing that the Eagles are the much better team on paper. I'm just doing this based on remaining schedule. Remember, the Eagles won the division last year, right? So they have to play a first-place schedule. Here's how the Eagles have left. And mind you, they still only have 3 wins and a tie. They're on bye week this week. They get the Giants. Lost a close game. That's not exactly winnable. The Cleveland Browns, I believe, are legit. Seattle Seahawks, Green Bay Packers, New Orleans Saints, Arizona Cowboys, Dallas. That's where the key is. And a Washington football team that they got that they blew a 17-point lead and were absolutely annihilated on.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys remaining schedule. Pittsburgh Steelers, we'll chalk that up as a loss. They're not going
to
win.
And the Ravens, they have bye to play week, through. That's a loss.
Bye week, Minnesota, Washington, Baltimore Ravens, sure, that's a loss. Cincinnati Bengals, what are the 49ers going to look like at that point in the year? They're on the schedule. The Philadelphia Eagles, New York Giants.
So yes, I'm not saying someone needs to get 6 wins. A 6 win team.
Somebody needs to get to 6. Yeah, somebody needs to get the 6 wins. The Cowboys have a much easier schedule. They have a bye week coming up where they can either A, get Andy Boy acclimated to this offense the way he should be, or maybe find something with one of those scrums that they have, or maybe even just come up with something altogether. I'm not saying it's a lock. But right now it's at 8-1, and it's going to get even greater when they get absolutely smashed by Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
and you could get and they still have the guys. They've already won a couple of games. Like they beat the Giants, they beat the Falcons. They have a couple of wins on the slate. They're only a game and a half back, and their schedule is much easier than Philly's going forward.
And you know what? Like, they outplayed the Eagles a lot of that game the other night in Philadelphia. They did. They just happened to have a shitty quarterback.
It was frustrating because they covered that game for 70. Like they were 12.5 point dogs. They covered that game for 75% of the time.
The Eagles might have caught a big break there on that defensive touchdown.
They caught a huge break, Lou.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm obviously a little biased as a Cowboys guy, but quite frankly, the team's been a complete embarrassment. They shouldn't win more than 4 games this year, but that doesn't mean they won't.
No, and I'm just saying, excuse me, currently as it stands, sorry.
I'd actually take a look at the Giants too, man. The Giants have, if you look at the Giants, I know they're 1-7, but if you actually take a look at the Giants team overall, they lost 10 points in week 1, but the Steelers are undefeated. Steelers are a pretty good team. They lost by 4 points to the Bears, who are fairly decent this year. They got destroyed by the 49ers. They lost 1 possession game to the Rams. They lost a 3-point game to the Cowboys. They won a 1-point game versus Washington, lost a 1-point game to the Eagles, and then lost a 2-point game to the Buccaneers. I mean, this team has been in every game this year except for the 49ers game. And again, they're only a game and a half or 2 games out.
I agree, and I really like what I really think this team is scrappy, and they've been basically covering numbers ever since.
And they have Washington, Philly, and the Bengals the next 3 weeks. Those could, if they, or the next 3 or 4 weeks, one of them's a bye. If they win 2 of those games, by primarily the Washington and the Philly game, anything's possible for them, even with a tough finish for Seattle, Cardinals, Browns, and Ravens.
It's Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, Baltimore. Yeah.
They're going to have Dallas to win a game they shouldn't win, for sure.
And they only have and the thing that really puts them behind the 8-ball is they only have 1 win. Like that Philly game that they let slip, you know, last Monday night's game, they let that one slip.
The one against the Cowboys
game,
too.
The Rams game was winnable too.
Yeah, but Rams the Dak Prescott game when he got hurt, the game they probably should have been able to hold on to.
Yeah, I think the future, like as
they
far
could
as
be,
the,
they could be a 3 or 4 win team right now, though, which is why I say what I say. They could easily be 3-4, or 3-5, I mean, as opposed to 1-7, possibly even 4-5.
Yeah.
Or 4-4.
They could be, but unfortunately they're not. They're a one-win team, and that's kind of what's going to bury them in the end. I think there's a couple more wins on there.
Are we discounting the Washington football team in this division?
Oh, and they're a plus 375, but I'm saying, guys, wait until Monday morning. Sprinkle $10-$15 on the Dallas Cowboys at probably 10-1.
I mean, why not just drop a 20, right? I guess we'll have to see. Could it go even higher than 10-1? The Steelers could win this game by 20 points.
Their absolute lowest point is when they absolutely get crushed by the Steelers.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to want them at that point. And the Eagles haven't done anything, so you still have memories of them beating the Cowboys.
The Eagles will be on their bye.
And the Eagles' schedule is just an absolute murderer's row. They're still playing a first place schedule.
Yeah,
guys, I'm telling you, it's not crazy to think that the Cowboys can still win this division.
No, what is crazy is that instead of 16 wins, it might actually be 5 wins because of that tie the Eagles have.
I have them at the. I was doing some like makeshift projections, and honestly, it came out having the Dallas Cowboys winning the division at 6-10.
Yikes!
We'll end it on that note there.
Yeah, yikes is the nice PC way to put it. Of course, you can catch Mike and I every Wednesday for our gambling preview. Thursday for our DFS preview right here on the First and Goal Show. Subscribe to the First and Goal Show via Sports Crew Radio Network on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Show sponsored by Fantasy Football Blueprint, so go check them out at fantasyfootballblueprint.com for all your DFS gambling and esports needs. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'm Lou Landers. That was Mike Strome. Until next time, happy gambling.